This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Ness, you've got an exciting week coming up, and you've had a very busy few months, I understand, in the filmmaking industry. And you're launching a internet-based film web series. Can you tell us about that?
Cool. So it's called Potluck, and it's a web series that is set around three friends who make a pact at their potluck dinner, and then each episode plays out at a different potluck dinner throughout the season. Right. So it's six episodes. We've just filmed episode one, and we're madly putting that together to have a launch for in 2 days' time, which I'm very excited about. And once we've launched it, it will be available online, and we are getting all the resources in place to film the rest of the series.
Okay. And where would people find it online?
At www.potluckwebseries.com.
Now, the idea for the potluck web series, where does that come from? As a someone who's been around the Dyke communities for quite a while, potluck certainly rings a bell. Can you talk to your inspiration for this?
I guess it's the same for me. I've been around the communities for a long time. I've been to more than my fair share of potluck dinners over the last many years, and I think I decided that a web series was going to be my next project, and I'd been watching a few web series and just liked the idea of being able to create something that could essentially travel anywhere in the world, for starters, but also could be freely available to an audience that I feel like often isn't really well served in mainstream media. And so I started thinking about a web series idea, and then a lot of my stories and stories that I'm interested in telling have queer characters kind of at the heart of it. And as a filmmaker, I am definitely interested in exploring different aspects of the community. And so, I decided, that I wanted to write a web series. I then struck on the character of Debs, who is a kind of a shy butch woman who I feel like any representations that I have seen of butch on screen are often either really kind of TV safe, quite sort of soft butch, or certainly really quite sharp in presentation and things like that, or else if I ever do see anyone that has a kind of butch staunchness, their character is almost always just aggressive in one line. It's unusual to see butch characters that have any depth or complexity or kind of an exploration of the gentle side of their nature and things like that. And so this character of Debs came along first, and then I was thinking, okay, what am I going to do with her? And I struck on this kind of friendship between her and her best mate Mel, and that they each, brought something to the table in terms of what they offered each other, and they're very different characters. So Mel's quite, vivacious and confident, and so these two women have been each other's best friends for a really long time, and because of that, they, always have each other's backs, and they always push each other forward. And so I kind of came up with the idea of the two of them in that relationship, and then I thought, okay, I need to bring a third person in, which was Beth, who is really warm and kind of lovely, and the kind of the heart to this friendship in terms of, making everything, getting these guys together and sharing food and things like that. And then the idea of food came into it for me, because I think food is such an important part of culture and friendship and love. And so I thought, potluck dinners. And so then started thinking about a potluck, and then the more I thought about a potluck, initially I was thinking about it as a kind of a one-off and where that would lead to, and then I thought, actually there's quite a cool thing that can happen in a recurring potluck setup. And so in episode one, those three characters make a pact that then is going to play out at the potluck dinners for the rest of the episode. So
yeah. Right, are we able to know what the pact is, or is that giving away too much?
Basically, Deb's character had her heart broken 6 years ago and has just kind of shut down on any kind of relationship with anyone ever since. And her best friend, Mel, is pretty smooth with the ladies. And so they kind of sit in polar opposites, where Mel, is hooking up with different people really regularly, and Deb's is just quite shut down. And then Beth is Mel's kind of ex-girlfriend. So basically the pact that gets laid down by Beth is that Mel has to keep her hands to herself until Debs gets her hands full.
Oh.
And then Mel kind of puts something, a pact back on Beth that involves a discussion Beth needs to have with her mother. And so then that gets driven the whole way through the series, and it allows for a whole bunch of other characters to come in and shake things up.
Have you written the full series?
Yeah, I have. So I've written a couple of drafts of the full series. I'll be going back to probably do another run over everything before we shoot the rest of the series. So, yeah.
So how long have you been working on the project?
I was thinking about that. So I first started thinking about it over a year ago, possibly even longer. I had some other projects going on, and it's sort of, especially if you're writing, you can't afford to just have one thing. You know, you have to have a bunch of different projects going on at a time, and because it takes so long to develop them. And so I had this idea, and I sort of started off, a big part of the writing process is that kind of initial marination sometimes, you know, it's the forming it in my head. And I had a couple of conversations with people about different things. And then I'd worked with Robin on another project, the producer.
Who's Robin?
Robin Murphy is the producer for Potluck. And we'd worked together on another project. And at the time, I kind of thought that I might do a dramatic web series. And so I guess we were kind of checking each other out for that, you know. And anyway, so Robin, you know, really early stages, I sent her the first draft of the first episode, and we kind of had a chat about where it might go from there and things like that. And then I wrote out the first draft of the whole series at the start of this year. And then from there, I kind of refined that whole draft a little bit, and then focused on episode one because we knew we were going to make that first.
When you were thinking about the characters, were you thinking particular age groups? Did you have quite a full idea of who these people were?
I was. I think, you know, in addition to hardly ever seeing representations of lesbians on screen, there's actually whole kinds of characters that we hardly ever, if we do get to see versions of them, their roles are often quite defined. And so I was really interested in looking at the stories of, you know, women in their 30s and 40s, and that this wasn't, you know, about a bunch of lesbian kind of teenagers. I feel like that is a market that is really well served, and not necessarily where I wanted to spend my time. And so and partly that's probably my own kind of stage of life, but also just that actually there's all sorts of interesting things that happen in women's lives around that age. And often those characters, when we do see them on screen, they're somebody's mother or wife or girlfriend, and not necessarily the story being about them in their own right. And so I was quite interested in having three women who are in that age group and looking at kind of what's going on in their lives.
Right. How did you go about casting for it?
Casting. So as a writer, I can, you know, put these words on the page and it all sort of seems to make sense and everything like that. And then you come to casting. And so I always knew that casting Debs was going to be a real challenge. And it was. It sort of essentially kind of put the project on hold for about 4 months longer than we had hoped. But that's just how it works sometimes. But so we kind of had some initial auditions. We had a number of people that we knew we wanted to approach already, and we did, and then we sent out info to casting agents and things like that with character bios and a bit of an indication of what we're looking to. And then we still weren't getting what we needed with Debs, and I'd always had a plan that I was going to cast Debs first and then cast the other two, depending, because I had a really open age scale. I believe I put something like 30 to 55 down for my kind of character description, which is just, I probably mess with the casting agents a little bit, you know. But the reason that I did that was because I, you know, as much as I had Deb's character and Deb's story in mind, I also knew that that was really open to being developed based on who we cast. And actually what was most important was talking about, a kind of person and looking at finding that right kind of person to play the role. And so, and we had some fantastic people, you know, there's an interesting thing that happens between having to switch from writing something to directing it. And, you know, as a writer, I've put my words down and I'm imagining how it is in my head. And then when you look at your options for casting and you start going, okay, well, this person brings this part of Debs and this person brings this part of Debs. And so we were kind of lucky in that we had some good options. Yet it was a real challenge, so I ended up making a video to kind of send out to, you know, are you our Debs, and just trying to throw the net really wide. We knew we got kind of one chance to lock off the casting, and so it was worth waiting, and it was worth holding the project up to make sure we got the right person. So, and yeah, and then we've cast Angie Kreft, who brings amazing experience, a really great vibe, is very different from Debs and as a person, and just has this kind of ability to, you know, she brings a different Debs than I imagined as a writer, but she also brings some really cool stuff out in Debs that I hadn't realised was in there as well, so, which is pretty cool.
Cool. And Angie, I've known Angie from when she was living in Wellington. I think she's in Auckland now, yeah? So she's flying in and out and...
She is, yeah. So not only are we making, you know, a really quite, we're pushing our budgets as hard as we can, but we've actually cast two actors from Auckland as well. So the other one is Nikki Sialepa, who is cast as Mel. And I think, you know, it's not like we had no options in Wellington, but there's a, when we were doing auditions and getting, you know, tape sent and things like that, you know when you found your characters. And so, and once you've seen that, you know, you don't concede for a budget or whatever. You just go, okay, we just need to make a plan for that, you know, for flights and accommodation and all that sort of stuff that it brings on. So, yeah, I think in an ideal world, we would have cast from Wellington for lots of reasons. One is that I feel like, firstly, you know, I've been out in Wellington since the early 90s, and it's a community that I really am interested in showcasing, I guess, you know. And so I think it helps, you know, that Angie's spent time in Wellington and understands, you know, things about the community here and as well, because I think that brings an understanding to her role for Debs, which is cool.
How are you bringing the community of Wellington into this, or how are you showing it?
We've had to change the plan for that. So when I first kind of was looking at the vision for this, part of me was thinking about how this was going to look on screen, and was aware that, you know, the action takes place in within kind of kitchens and lounges and stuff like that, and I wanted to create a really big, vibrant world, you know, and particularly a big, vibrant Wellington. And so I had a vision that all the episodes were going to open and close with shots of, you know, everyday Wellington lesbians going about their business, and I've gone around and shot at a few places and things like that, and had really fantastic engagement from the community. And then as we've kind of cut the story and cut it together, the two things don't fit. So, which has been a little bit of a shame in some ways, but in other ways I also kind of, it is helping influence what I'm going to do with other episodes and how I'm going to bring that community in, because there are quite a few opportunities for that to happen. So, yeah, it hasn't been a wasted exercise at all. It's always interesting how things translate from either my head or the page onto the screen. And I think, you know, everything that we're trying to do is to serve that experience on screen. So sometimes you have to make really tough decisions like that.
So given that this sounds like there's quite a bit of expense, and I know that anything involved with film involves a lot of people, a lot of equipment, how are you managing to fund this?
Yeah, so we had some support from the Emerging Artists Trust, who basically gave us an amount of money that meant that we could shoot the pilot, the first episode, which is what we've done. We filmed that 3 weeks ago, 3 weekends ago, And, you know, being able to do that has only happened because we've had amazing support from our cast and our crew, and also a number of industry people. You know, we've had fantastic people offering equipment and even, you know, things like vehicles, and some of my lovely people who, you know, made food to feed everyone on set, which felt so incredibly appropriate for Potluck. And, yes, we've called in a lot of favours, and I think in lots of ways it's so nice, because the kind of the kaupapa of the project involves passion and people being invested in everyone making it together, and that's been really fantastic. It's also really hard to keep asking favours from people. And you know, as much as possible, we've tried to make sure that there's always something in it for other people as well. Sometimes it's just about supporting us to make content that they actually want to see. Sometimes, like in terms of our crew roles and things like that, we've approached this as trying to give opportunities for people to step up. So, and particularly in some of the key roles as well. So people who have experience and have been working in the industry and just, you know, kind of need that chance to step into the HOD or get another, you know, a really good credit on their in their CVs and stuff for future work. So
you've been there, eh? You've done this sort of thing yourself, I guess.
I still feel like a bit of a baby when it comes to the film industry. You know, I'm 4 years since I graduated from the film school, and I have learnt massive amounts in that time. I've made some really cool projects, which have been fantastic, and I think, you know, I've benefited so much from the help of some really far more experienced than I am people who have given me opportunities, and so I really want to be able to do the same thing for other people wherever possible as well. I think it's a big part of the spirit of the industry, and it's certainly one of the things that attracts me to the film industry. And particularly with the women, you know, I've worked in situations where, you know, women aren't maybe so supportive of each other, but my experience in film has, you know, I've just had these amazing women who have just kept giving, you know, opening things up for me and giving me opportunities that I really appreciate. And I do feel, you know, in terms of someone who's reasonably new to the industry, I'm a lot older than other people in the same sort of situation, and that has real pros and cons. You know, like, it definitely, I think, has really helped, because there's so much more that I maybe understand about the world than I did when I was 20, and, you know, things like time and money and stuff like that, some of those real fundamental kind of parts of making projects happen. And then, you know, the flip side is, you know, it's just huge, and it takes over your life. And as you get kind of older and, you know, more aware of how important friends and family and just actually having a healthy balance and stuff can be, then it's harder sometimes to kind of, you know what you're signing up for, and you know how much of your life it's going to take. But I guess that's, you know, for me, that's why it's so important that I'm working on projects that I am really passionate about, that I really want to see on screen. So
to see this on screen, you've got a boost funding project going that you've managed to avoid talking about so far. You know, I think, you know, you should just put it out there.
Sorry, Robin. Sorry. In order to fund the rest of the series, we had the funding to shoot the pilot, and we always wanted to approach it like that. You know, for me, I want people to watch this and make a decision about whether they want to see more. And, you know, if they want to see more, then the way they can help make that happen is to support our boosted campaign. It's going to be free to air, and so, you know, you could look at it in a way of, you know, if you were going to pay for a ticket to it, then you'd be doing it kind of at the boosted level. And I think the, you know, crowdfunding campaigns are huge and take a lot of energy, but they're also a really great opportunity for an audience to become engaged and actually choose to support projects that they care about. So, so we've had a really good response so far. We've got a few more weeks running of our campaign. We need to get all the money to get any of it, so that's quite a challenge. But and then we also have, on top of the booster campaign, we have some other funding that we've, you know, applied for and things like that in order to shoot it. And all that, on top of all of that, we still, you know, our cast and our crew are still have signed up for this project on much lower rates than, you know, you might otherwise get in an industry, because I guess because each of them care about making it happen as well. And that has really paid off on set. Like, just a whole bunch of people that are committed and excited about the project, and it's been really cool.
Yeah. So you're aiming for 22,000, I think it was?
Yeah, 22,500, which, you know, it's, by the time you feed everyone, move everyone, have all the equipment, the locations, the costumes, the props, the, you know, it's just such an expensive business. It's, and, you know, that amount of money we are making go really far. And fortunately, you know, that's one of the areas that Robin and I both kind of are on the same page on, and that we don't spend money on anything we don't have to, you know, but at the same time, we're really good at making the money that we do have stretch as far as possible, because you do see it on screen.
Yeah. Is there anything different about making a web series compared to some other type of series like TV? And
there's so many different possible answers for that. I think there's a freedom in making a web series, in that, you know, essentially anyone can do it and they can put it up online, and there's no gatekeepers from distributors or networks or any of that thing. So there's no one saying you can or can't make this content. There's also no rules around time. You know, you can make an episode that's 30 seconds long, or you could make one that's 3 hours long if you were that way inclined. And I think... for me personally, I think a story tends to fall naturally into certain kind of durations, and each episode that for Potluck is going to be about, I say this, I'm putting a stake in the ground, it could all vary, but it's probably going to be about 7.5 to 8.5 minutes long, and then the finale is going to be a little bit longer because everything sort of builds towards that sixth episode. But for me, you know, I kind of imagine that the audience, you know, some of them will sit down and make an effort to kind of put their lives on hold to watch it. And a lot of people will watch it in amongst their day, or, you know, send the link to their friend who'll just be, you know, click on it in passing. And I think a lot of content gets shared like that online. And so we are, you know, the episodes are pretty short and snappy and power-packed for each time. So,
but you're saying that you've got the pilot sorted, but you need the money to finish the other ones.
Yeah, so we basically, once we get all the money in place through Boosted and the other money that we've got happening in addition to that, then we will be going into our next shoot in earnest, which is likely to be February, March next year. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to shoot, you know, so the first episode was shot over one weekend, and whereas now we're going to shoot the next 5 episodes in a block.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so which is going to be very intense. It's just huge. The amount of work that goes into it is just huge. But, so we'll be shooting them in a block of sort of 2 to 3 weeks intense full-time shooting, and then off the back of that we'll start powering into cutting them all together and getting them all nicely packaged up to send out into the world, so, which also takes a lot of time. and so we're still working out at the moment whether when we release them it's in one fell swoop, or whether we're going to look at releasing them once a week, and, you know, things like, there's so many different options. That's the thing with web series, you're in control, and there's all sorts of variables and all sorts of pros and cons for any which way you go. But
so for people to keep sort of in the loop around what's happening with it, you've got a Facebook page, Potluck Web Series, and you've got your website for it. Is there any other ways that people can find out about what's going on and when it's on next?
Cool, yeah. So we're also just in the process of, we'll have a Twitter account up and running soon, I think, which, you know, I haven't had that much to do with Twitter, so that's going to be an interesting one. But hopefully I won't have to. I think I've got someone else who's all over that, which is great. We've also got our own YouTube page as well, YouTube channel for Potluck Web Series, and also a Vimeo page. So all the videos and the behind the scenes and all the episodes are going to go up there as well. But yeah, so I think, you know, in terms of where everything's going to be housed for episodes and everything, our website's probably the best port of call, and then our Facebook page just for keeping up to date with progress. And, you know, we're trying to make sure that we are keeping our – it's almost like giving people front row seats to this whole project. You know, we're sort of showcasing it at every step. And our audience have been really engaged already, which is fantastic. It's pretty it's great to get people's responses and, you know, have them kind of send comments and stuff at different times about either something that we've posted up for them or questions that they have about the series. And Facebook's such a good outlet for that.
Yeah, because it seems to be a lot of interest going on it. And I've seen you write things about how you've drawn the characters, and that some of it seems to be coming from you and your personality and having a little bit of that in there. And also is that people might recognise a bit of themselves. I think there's a song about that, isn't there?
Yeah. There may be. Maybe we should make that our theme song. Well, it's quite interesting. So, you know, like my writing process is I kind of develop it, an idea, and I get it to a point, and then I've kind of got that first read, which in this case was Robin as my producer. And then I do a bit more work, and sometimes, you know, I have a couple of really fantastic people who give me feedback on projects at different stages. And then I always like to do, at a certain point, I like to do a read through, you know, and sometimes that's a read through with actors. And in this case, I did a read through with a bunch of friends of mine, and, which was a really cool, you know, it's an important, there's such a difference between how something sounds to the ear to how it looks on the page. And, you know, I can pretend to read it through in my head, and it's mildly kind of suits the purpose. But yeah, so basically we got together, had some food, read through the whole series, you know, together with people kind of cast as a character and things like that. And so in lots of ways that was my first audience, and I was so nervous, and and, you know, and then had kind of a chat about different things that happened. And there were a couple of moments in that read through where someone recognized something where they had also been there for that moment, or that was related, you know, to something that had happened to them or to others around us. And I guess, you know, sometimes I think that's quite often the way for me as a writer. I write a lot of stories that are not necessarily about myself, but the world that I'm in, you know. So sometimes, you know, friends and family get caught up in that net as well. So it was pretty funny when someone had a realization and just kind of looked at me across the group, and we laughed, you know, at about a particular line that was said. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think, you know, it's not like I intend to be a magpie and I'm sitting there making notes about everything my friends say or anything like that, but certainly things stick in my head, and I'm quite, I love banter and dialogue, and, you know, a lot, and I have this great group of friends who are endlessly entertaining to me, you know, and sometimes those things do just kind of sit with me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use that at some stage. So. Yeah.
And where have you used locations, like at friends' places or?
No. So Robin, who is our producer, is also a location scout and manager. Very handy, very handy. And so Robin went out scouting around Wellington and found us beautiful locations for episode one. And so we, you know, basically it's a case of finding the locations and having the conversations with people who own them, live in them, things like that, about what it is we're doing and what we need. And you know, there's kind of a standing joke within the industry, which is, you know, never have a film crew in your house, you know, because it is pretty intense. But at the same time, you know, we knew that we had a fully professional crew. And so, you know, as much as you can ever kind of say that nothing will go wrong, that, you know, our crew, we're definitely going to be in these spaces and really respectful of them. And they absolutely are, which is cool. And so, particularly because, you know, this series is largely set inside, and sometimes that can mean that you end up with something on screen that can get a little bit flat. But our kind of hero location, which is Mel's apartment, is just beautiful, and the lovely man who owns it has just been so supportive, and, you know, read the script and was excited to support it and things like that as well. So it's been very cool. Yeah.
So that's your first location, and do you keep returning there? Or do they share it around? Is the potluck dinner going around the different houses?
So we largely keep returning to Mel's apartment. So we've also, in episode one, we've also been to Beth's house. And we're yet to discover Deb's house, but that does come in. But yeah, so the potluck dinners themselves largely take place in Mel's apartment, but there's some other stuff that happens outside the potluck dinners that is going to give people a taste of a broader Wellington and a broader world than just, you know, Mel's dining table, which is quite cool. So.
Are you open to flexibility in the script at all, or is it pretty much nailed?
It's pretty close to nailed. I absolutely am. I think I know that, you know, even just off the back of shooting episode one, that there's room for me to push further with the other episodes, and I'm looking forward to finding some time in January when that's going to happen. But also, you know, I work on things at a script level and, you know, try and push them as far as I can. And then once you've got your cast on board, and again, you know, we've got such a talented cast. We've got Angie, who's, you know, got all sorts of experience in the UK in front of the screen, plus is also a singer and a vocal coach. We've got Nikki, who's a filmmaker in her own right and churning out some amazing stuff. And then we've got Tess, who's a Toy Fakadi graduate and also a writer and director and making some fantastic stuff as well. And so I would be an idiot not to look at collaborating with them on developing the characters and really kind of pushing the action that happens within the series. And you know, we've already started that process with episode one. We spent a bit of time in rehearsals and, you know, leading into the shoot. And part of that is about building those characters. You know, it doesn't work if I try and apply something concrete onto them and tell them to be that person. They have to kind of feel it and own it. And you know, that work, I feel like, is already paying off by what we get to see in episode one. And we're only going to get better. Yeah. Okay.
So the way that people can support the project would be to view it as soon as possible after it's released and then spread the word, I guess. Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. View it, spread the word. If you have the ability, support it through the Boosted campaign as well, would be really fantastic. You know, we really want to make the series, and we've got a bunch of people who are really excited about making it, and the only way we can is if we can get that money in place. So yeah, share it. Send us feedback. Tell us what you like. Tell us if there's anything that you don't like. I'm not saying that we'll necessarily, you know, change everything about it, but it's always so. Sometimes you send things out and you into this great void and you get no response, and you don't, you know, unless you actually have a physical conversation with someone, you don't know how that's working or not. So, yeah.
Thanks very much, Nets. And, yeah, congratulations on it, and thanks for bringing us something that is really new for New Zealand anyway. I'm not sure about the world in terms of a lesbian web series, but I imagine it's breaking new ground.
Yeah, I think there's definitely lesbian web series out there, and there's a huge scale of them. You know, there's certainly ones that, you know, maybe not so memorable, and then there's some really great ones and entertaining ones as well. And yeah, this is, it's a comedy, so everything's kind of heightened going on in here, but at the same time I'm trying to do that within a realm of characters that you can recognise and maybe know, and, you know, or close to yourself. So I think it is kind of unique in that sense, and it's certainly unique coming from New Zealand, and it'll be really interesting to see how that goes internationally, whether there's, you know, interest and kind of what happens down here at the end of the world. Yeah.
So it launches on December the...
So it launches online at 9 o'clock New Zealand time, December the 1st, 2015.
And that's www.potluckwebseries.com.